möchtest. Okay, everybody, if we could take our seats and get ready to go. Welcome, everybody. If I could please get everybody to take a seat. Good morning, everybody. Martin, is that you still standing? Okay, let's get started. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to ICANN 49 in Singapore. As usual, we have a very busy agenda. But first, I'd just like to welcome everybody to the CCNSO meeting and also to our hosts. Thank you very much. Hopefully everybody is clear-eyed and bright, even though the gala was on a Monday night for a change. I know my first meeting of the day, my partner there was a little late, but I won't mention his name. Anyway, good morning. We have a very busy agenda. The program working group has actually been doing a lot of work over the past couple of months, particularly in light of the fact that we've had some very dramatic announcements recently, and we've tried to really adapt to that and rejig our schedule to deal with some of the significant announcements. Katrina is going to walk you through the agenda in a couple of moments, but first I just wanted to say a couple of words. The first one, I am going to be the bearer of some bad news, in that unfortunately today will be the last time we have a sponsored lunch in the CCNSO. It's, I guess, the unfortunate downside of the success we are having as an organization with 149 members. The size of the group is just getting to be at a point that it's difficult to find sponsors to be able to sponsor a lunch for that size of group. So please enjoy your lunch today. It's put on by our hosts in Singapore, and it will be the last one. Beyond that, I just wanted to also make mention of the fact, two things. One is, given the NTIA announcement, we already had three internet governance-related sessions over the course of 2 days. Katrina and her work group have done a lot of work in trying to rejig what was the content to what will be the content in order to address a pretty different landscape that we find ourselves in just in the last 2 weeks. And finally, I just wanted to take a moment to let you know that the CCNSO Council on Sunday afternoon had a four-hour workshop, something that we do every 2 or 3 years, just taking a broader strategic look at what we anticipate the issues that we'll be focusing on over the coming 2 to 3 years. So we did that this past Sunday, and we really took a look and had a very fulsome discussion on what we think will be the primary issues that this group we'll be focusing on over the next few years. And that also gives us some help in terms of planning the chronology of agendas to make sure that they're the relevant ones, and also thinking about the kinds of work groups and work activities that we're going to need to focus on over the coming year. It's something that I would also encourage you to talk to your counselor about in terms of further detail. We will be putting some materials out to the broader community once we've typed them up, so you will see some output from that session. But I will just take a moment to highlight the five themes that we saw as the highest runner themes over the coming 24 to 36 months. Number one, and I think it was pretty much universally agreed to, was the NTIA announcement and the transfer of accountability within the IANA functions. So that was definitely the number one issue, and will no doubt will be something we'll be focused on in the coming years. General accountability of ICANN and the IANA function was the second most popular topic. The third was the work of the FOI and how that will be implemented and related topics. Fourth was the ongoing work that we have done around ICANN budget and operational planning through the good work of the SOP. And then fifth, most significant theme was around issues internal to the CCNSO. How are we functioning? Do we have a good program? Do we have a good agenda for these meetings? Quorum rules, governance issues, elections, you know, given the size of this organization and the length of time that it's been around, is there an opportunity to look at some of the bylaws to make sure that they're best addressing the needs we have today versus a number of years ago? So those were the top five themes that were pulled out of the session on Sunday. There were many, many more, but in terms of aggregating what the top five amongst the whole group were, those were they. And we will produce some material to support that and pass it out to the council so you'll have a better sense of what we were up to. And with that, I will pass it over to Katrina.
Thank you, Byron. Good morning, everyone. I'll try to run through the slides and highlight the most interesting sessions, really invite you to participate very actively. A couple of days ago, I was asked, is this mandatory to participate, for a CCNSO member to participate in CCNSO meetings? Yes, it is. So I really hope that you will be here and spending time together and listening to all those presentations. Of course, the program working group analyzed your responses, your feedback you provided after the meeting in Buenos Aires, and we tried to accumulate your wishes and provide program that really be interesting for you. Whatever you asked, we tried to find presenters. But of course, recent changes impacted the agenda. And I have to thank Keith, Bart, and Byron for chasing all those interesting and very important people and ensuring that they will be here with us today and tomorrow. So today, don't forget, very interesting session, NTIA update. Actually, we have like four sessions devoted to internet governance. Today, we have three of them. This time, we're focusing on internet governance, and well, it's quite understandable. We'll hear from about internet governance development in Asia. And today, actually, for the first time, we'll try a new format. We're going to have interviewers and people who will get interviewed by the interviewers. And we really would like to hear your opinion on the new format. Will you like it? Would you like to see something like that in future too? And after, tomorrow we'll have another session on internet governance, defining principles and requirements, and Keith and Byron will try to... Actually... yeah, well, let's keep it as a surprise, and tomorrow you will see how it works, and we really hope that you will participate. And, of course, we'll have other interesting sessions, name collisions, security session tomorrow, and CCTLD news, and several presentations will be about marketing, how our CCTLDs market their TLDs. Some other things I'd like to point out. We have Adobe Connect room where you can see the presentations, where you can actually submit your questions, where you can participate in discussions. So please use this tool too. That's another additional tool for those who are too shy to come up here and ask their questions at the mic. So this time, for some reason, Gabby won't be running around with microphone. Well, she just... yes, exactly. That's a pity, but just please respect her situation and come up to the microphone here. We have it specifically in the middle of the room. In the evening, we have another important event, CCNSO cocktail. You all have received invitations. It's carnivore appetite. Not so far from here. It's really easy to find the place, especially when you're hungry. So you don't need an invitation. Just show up, come, and enjoy a nice company. We also have, thanks to Alejandra, we have this Google Calendar, and everything is calendared, and well, actually you can use it. Thanks a lot to our generous sponsors for making the last lunch, thanks to localhost and CCNSO cocktail, to happen. And special thanks to Han Chuan Lee from ICANN for helping to organize CCNSO cocktail. So, thank you very much, and welcome to CCNSO Days.
Thank you, Katrina. So as you can see, there's going to be lots of opportunity to talk about the number one issue at hand. We'll have different formats, some more informational, some more conversational and input-based. So there should be an opportunity for everybody to get what they need out of the internet governance discussion. With that, the next item on the agenda is an update from the FOI. Keith, if I could ask you to come up. And anybody else you'd like to drag along? Nope, all on your own? Obviously, Bernie stayed up too late at the gala. And I would just remind or ask you to bear in mind that we have Fiona and Larry coming very, very shortly.
Sure. Thank you, Byron, and I will be necessarily brief, so I don't think I'll walk you through the presentation that we had today. The presentation and the progress report since the last meeting of the FOI working group is on the website now, so please download it or have a look at it online, and if you have specific questions, don't be afraid to come and talk to me during the course of the next 2 days. But just to remind the room, because I see there are a few new faces in the room too, the FOI Working Group is the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. It arose out of a review of the delegations and redelegations decisions made on CCTLDs by the ICANN board, and showed up a number of issues that required some clarity or clarification in the way that the framework might be, in the way that delegations and redelegations might be given their consideration for decisions. So As most of the old hands in the room will know, there were a series of topics that we sought to determine an interpretation of. The idea was to provide colour and depth to existing policies and guidelines and not to invent policy. In fact, any creation of policy was out of scope for the working group. So this was to take RFC 1591 and the GAC principles and provide further colour and depth. We've been through the process of defining the topics, the three chapters of consent, significantly interested parties and revocation. We've determined our definition of those, and we've just in the last few weeks completed the glossary of terms that should be used by IANA when they're providing reports on delegations and redelegations. And so that really brings to an end the drafting work of the working group. We still have a consultation process to go through on the glossary and an external review of that. And then our forward focus work is to work with the GAC. Our continued hope is that the GAC will provide its support for the framework of interpretation, and then we can present jointly to the ICANN board from the CCNSO and the GAC the framework. And because it would come from the GAC, it therefore becomes binding on the ICANN board unless they have some good reason to not consider that. But the idea here was to save us going through a policy development process and use the GAC advice route as a simpler methodology. So with that, a working group session here in Singapore. It's on Thursday between 9 and midday, 9 a.m. and midday, and in the Moore Room. And while I think the agenda says it's a closed session, we always have an open door policy, and you're most welcome to attend. And if we do have time on the agenda, we will allow questions from the floor. But remember, we're dealing with the higher level policy issues, and we don't tend to dwell on individual delegations and redelegations, so please don't bring those questions into the room. So the roadmap, I think, having completed the glossary, we have some unfinished consultation with the GAC. They've raised a couple of issues that we need to go back to them on. We would want their input on revocation as well, and hopefully we can make some progress in our joint meeting today and in meetings with GAC folks individually on that for clarification and so on. So I think my hope is that by London we will be in a position to jointly present that to the ICANN board. And I think for the things that we have had agreement on with the GAC so far, it would be quite sensible for us to now start working on the IANA implementation plan, so a small group of the FOI folks working with the IANA staff to ensure that what we've interpreted is codified into what IANA will do in the future. And if there's anything left controversially left between us and the GAC, we will leave that out of implementation until we have that resolution. So with that, that's my report, and I'm sorry it's so rushed, but is there time for questions?
Sure. Are there any questions? And while you formulate one, if there are any, I would say that the FOI has done some incredible heavy lifting on this dense topic. I would encourage everybody, if you haven't read the work, this is the time to read it as baseline information that you must understand to have a meaningful conversation about where we're headed next with IANA. So if you haven't read it yet, I would strongly encourage you to. No questions? You can also speak to Keith tonight at the cocktail party. Thank you very much, Keith, and to the work group on this subject. And I think that is an excellent segue to our next guests, who probably don't need much introduction, but I will anyway. Larry Strickling and Fiona Alexander from the NTIA are with us to talk about the significant announcement. That was made recently to offer us their direct and candid insights, and then we also have an opportunity to have some Q&A. So with that, I will pass it over to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Byron, and thanks for having us. I'm kind of talked out in terms of explaining this. You all have probably fatigued from hearing it being described so many times. So maybe we should just go right to your questions and let's get a dialogue going. Keith, thank you. Jumping to the task.
Can we get the mic on, the floor mic?
Thank you. This room, a lot of our CCTLD colleagues have only just come in yesterday or today, so many probably haven't had an opportunity to hear what you've been saying, Larry. So if you could give us a short introduction, that would be most helpful.
Will do, and thanks for that, Keith. Okay, so a week ago Friday, the United States announced its intention to transition out of its role in terms of the IANA functions. This is all done pursuant to a contract we have with ICANN that dates back, I mean, the relationship dates back to the back to near the creation of ICANN in the late 90s. In our role, we have been involved in verifying changes to the root zone file when they're updated and passing them on to VeriSign for actual implementation and updating of the root zone file. So in large part, our actual operational role is quite limited. And when ICANN was formed in the late 90s and when Becky Burr was at the helm back then at NTIA, it was made quite clear at that time that the U.S. government role in this was going to be transitional and temporary. And so we feel we're now at the point where we ought to go ahead and complete the transition that was envisioned when ICANN was created. And so that was the purpose for which we made our announcement a week ago Friday. In doing so, we called upon ICANN, as the contracting party with us, to convene the global internet community to determine what ought to come in the place of the United States role. And that was the process that was kicked off yesterday with the 1.5-2 hour session in the morning where ICANN, in tandem with the internet technical organizations like IETF and IAB and the RIRs, as well as representatives from the key constituencies here in ICANN, all basically sat up on stage and heard from the community in terms of the issues that they wanted to see, focusing largely at this point on what should the process be going forward for coming up with the transition plan to replace the United States. When we made our announcement, we said that there would be certain conditions we wanted to see satisfied in the transition plan that would be prepared by the multi-stakeholder global community. The four conditions were, one, it had to be true to principles of multi-stakeholder model. It had to preserve the stability, security, and resiliency of the internet. It had to protect the free and open nature of the internet, and it had to meet the needs of the customers and partners of the IANA functions. And then to make one issue crystal clear, we also said that we would not find acceptable a proposal that basically engaged a government-led organization or an intergovernmental organization as a solution for the role that we played. So we've put that out. So far, over the last 2 or 3 days, we've heard nothing but general consensus support for the four global principles that we laid out. Frankly, we didn't think they'd be controversial, and I've seen no sign from anybody that they are the least bit controversial. And we were very pleased to see the progress that was made yesterday in terms of the convening of the community, and we look forward to see how the community organizes itself to move forward to create a plan. The contract expires on September 30th, 2015, and that's a date that I think has confused some people because it's not a hard and fast deadline, but we felt it was important to put a date out there that the community might plan toward or aim toward. The fact of the matter is, if the work isn't done by then, the contract can be extended for up to 4 years based on two-year options. So there's no cliff that anybody's facing here. We are going to ensure that we'll continue to perform our role until we get the plan that the community wants to present to us as the consensus plan for moving forward to transition us out. So status quo during this period of time. Hopefully the community will be able to develop a plan within the time frame, but no problem if it doesn't. And so those are the highlights. I'm sure I've left something out, but maybe we will get to that in the questioning if there's something that people want to ask about. All right, Keith, did that work? Am I getting a nod, a thumbs up? Okay, questions?
And just for the remote participants and for the record, if you could please remember to state your name before you start speaking.
Becky Burr, .us. We've spent a lot of time paying attention to the outcome can't be intergovernmental, multilateral thing. But one of the conditions that you put down that is particularly important for this group is that it has to meet the needs of the customers. And we really appreciate that because CCs have been, by and large, the biggest customer of IANA naming functions. We may have a little bit of an unusual perspective just in focusing on that piece. But one of the things that we've been struggling with is getting a voice in this internet governance Net Mundial thing for the registries themselves. And I know that the two things are not entirely overlapping, but I wonder if you could talk about a little bit more about what things you would look for to see that it's meeting the needs of the customers.
That's easy for me. It'll be the result of a consensus proposal in which the community has fully engaged and accepts. That tells me that the customers are satisfied with what's being presented to us. So for me, it's not much more complicated than that. You made a comment about Net Mundial. My view of that is it's a very important conference, but it's not an important conference in terms of figuring out what to do with the U.S. role in the IANA functions. It's an important conference for dealing with the much broader global internet governance issues that faces the community now and will continue to over the next several years, which in my mind is how do you meet the needs of the developing world in this space? These are countries that aren't particularly comfortable or familiar with the multi-stakeholder model. We find it hard enough to explain the multi-stakeholder model to, you know, half of the U.S. Congress, so I can see how it's hard to explain it to countries that don't have a lot of experience with it. But the fact of the matter is, reflected in the Dubai WICKET conference in 2012, they have a whole series of unmet needs. They're looking for help, and they're looking for a place to get that help and need to understand how they can participate in a way that works for their particular situation. That's what I hope Net Mundial focuses on. I'm sure there will be discussion of our announcement down there, but I would hope that it would take more of the form of information session, not unlike what happened yesterday morning with the slide and the explanation of exactly what these functions are and how they work. But I don't see that conference as being an opportunity to kind of advance the ball on finding the process or finding a solution. I think that will come out of the discussions yesterday, and I would expect that ICANN will put out pretty quickly a summary of those discussions and with an idea of getting some public support for moving forward with a particular approach to this. I found it very comforting from our perspective to see all the different technical organizations reflected on the stage yesterday, including Byron with the CCNSO and Jonathan with the GNSO. And I hope that that keeps the focus, at least with respect to the IANA issue, on the customers. And I think that that bodes well for getting a process together that's going to work.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, good morning. Rudolf Meyer from .nl. Mr. Strickling, I agree that the best way to approach this is the open multi-stakeholder model that comes up with a consensus proposal for you. But on the other hand, I cannot imagine that you and your department have in your mind some kind of a sketch. It would be nice if they came up with something like this. And I think we've seen some of the rough strokes of the sketch in your communique, where you say, not a government-led structure. Can I somehow tempt you to give us a bit more of your, a bit more information about the sketch that you have, of which you think it would be nice if it was something like this?
Well, 2 points. One, I don't have a sketch. And two, if I did, it wouldn't be fair to the process to do anything other than submit it as one of many stakeholders for consideration. We're very cognizant of the need not to be putting our finger on the scale. If we really want the multi-stakeholder process to work going forward, if we're really looking for multi-stakeholder governance of this function or of ICANN more generally or of internet issues even more broadly, we've got to give the community the opportunity to wrestle with this issue and come up with the plan that they're comfortable with, that they can execute on and on which they can deliver outcomes. If there's too much at the front end of people saying, well, you can't consider this option, or you can't go that direction, and no, this is the right way to do it, particularly coming from us as the final arbiter on this, in the sense that, you know, we'll have to accept this at the end of the day. I don't think we're being true to the spirit of the multi-stakeholder process, and I'm going to resist the urge to answer questions like yours as much as I can.
So, which also implies that the criteria that you have now communicated are the only criteria?
Yes.
Another probably difficult question to answer, frankly. There's an increase in the political pressure from within the U.S. on your decision. Do we run the risk that either before the end date that you have announced or after presidential elections, if we get a change, that this whole thing is turned back?
There are clearly people who are trying to take political advantage of this announcement right now in Washington. We've already got two congressional hearings scheduled on this next week. You have people who think they're knowledgeable about this opining every day on editorial pages and in blogs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, there is definitely a lot of domestic churn. My advice to the community is the best way to defeat that is to show the world that you are organized, responsible, credible in terms of taking on this task and showing that a good proposal will come out of this work. If what the world's going to watch this, and you have two audiences you need to be concerned about. You need to be concerned about the people who want to make political points on this and are going to be looking to say, well, that's not working, or can you believe how chaotic that is, and why can't they come together faster on that? And the other audience you have to be concerned about is back to Net Mundial, the developing world that we need to show, to whom we need to show that this process works and can work well and can meet their needs. So the best way to do that, the best way to meet both goals is to act responsibly, get the grown-ups at the table, and let's sit down and get the community to move forward in a responsible way with everybody being seen to be pulling on the oar in the same direction to get a plan put together in a credible way.
I agree, and that might mean that the time limit is or the planning is far tighter than probably what you suggest. 2015, if we don't have concrete results before 2015, that might be considered by the surroundings as they're failing to come up with something reasonable. And especially if we extend past that date, I would think that the pressure would become very high, because it seems that there is not going to be a solution. So were you not a bit too optimistic when you said, even if you don't make 2015, you can still carry on?
So I think what the people who are watching this process are going to want more than anything else is to know there's security and stability. As long as the process is proceeding, as long as it's being seen to be responsible and taking on the issues, as long as it's being seen to be open, transparent, allowing the engagement of all the interested parties so you don't have people taking shots at it from the outside because they feel they're being excluded from it, that I think goes most of the way, if not all of the way, to allowing for the community to get the time it needs to come up with the plan that makes the most sense. So I'm not too worried about what happens if 2015 isn't the date, because we've tried to be clear every time we've explained this that it's not a hard and fast deadline. It does give the community 18 months to get on with this, and we thought that would be a goodly amount of time, but we don't have any opinion as to whether you could do it in 6 months or 26 months. But I don't see that as threatening an outcome here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Stefan Johnson from cctld.se. I'd like to continue, because when reading your press conference or your press message, I noticed the relation between NTIA and the IANA functions. But there are several contracts around here, and I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit about what I guess is at least two other contracts with VeriSign, etc. I guess you had this question before, but it's really interesting to hear how you perceive this, the other contracts and how they come into play with this one, if at all.
So I can speak, though I think the one that's directly impacted here is the cooperative agreement with VeriSign, mm-hmm. Under which they undertake to actually do the updating and maintenance of the root zone file. It should be obvious to everybody, if we're stepping out of this, that contract will need to be modified in this, either depending on what the alternative is that's presented, and assuming VeriSign wants to continue on with its role. We haven't put anything in play here other than our role. We have not suggested that anything about what ICANN does in terms of these making these changes and proposing these changes needs to change. We haven't suggested that anything about what VeriSign is doing has to be changed. All we've said is that we want to evolve so that we're not in the middle any longer. So, yeah, the paperwork will have to catch up with that. But it's a minor matter and can be dealt with once the community comes back with a final proposal. This is truly the hair on the tail wagging the dog.
Mm-hmm. So you're just retracting from the process, actually, and not taking active part in the other, at not least for now.
Could you explain what you mean? I'm not sure I understood
that.
Sorry,
I'm just trying to confirm what you're saying, but I think I got it anyhow. So.
Okay.
just one other quite loose and open question is political pressure. Again, I'm picking up from role of political pressure from other actors like the European Union, for example. They had a change in general policy just a couple of weeks before this announcement. And I'm, of course, very interested if you could elaborate relation, if any, with the European Union and others.
I'm not sure what you're referring to when you say a change, but the European Union has been a very strong partner in all of this with us in terms of sharing our support for the multi-stakeholder process, mm-hmm. sharing our support for the idea that this is not an area in which governments ought to be controlling oversight or stewardship. And that's been the case from when I got in this job and first met with Neelie Kroes on these mm-hmm. issues, and it continues to be the case. She mm-hmm. and I have had a number of conversations about ICANN and internet governance more generally, and I think for the most part, at the top level, we're very much in sync with each other.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks. My name is Al McGilvery. I'm with .ca. Now that you've announced that your role is being withdrawn, actually a lot of us are parsing around, well, what exactly is that role? Like, what's the vacuum that has to be filled? So I'd just like to ask a couple of questions around that. I guess the first one is a more general one about the linkage of any between the IANA functions contract and the affirmation of commitments, in the sense that I personally view the affirmation of commitments as it isn't a judiciable contract, it's a political agreement. So it needs perhaps some encouragement for compliance going forward. And I personally view the fact that the IANA contract is renewable every 3 years gives or gave the U.S. government an opportunity, and that is an opportunity to keep ICANN honest vis-a-vis its adherence to an affirmation of commitments. So is that a valid observation?
So we haven't done anything by our announcement to say the affirmation of commitments needs to be changed, modified, withdrawn, expanded, anything else. In our view, it remains in place throughout this process. Because of some of the factors you mentioned, the idea that people see even the U.S. contract with on IANA functions as providing some overall sense of confidence about the system, which conversely has also been a source of irritation to a lot of other people, but we get that, we understand that, and we fully expected that the community would want to start talking about does when you're talking about replacing the U.S. role, when we evolve out of the IANA functions, is there a vacuum left at this larger question of accountability? And I think that's what led to the second public session yesterday, to tee up that issue and get people talking about it. We encourage that discussion. Again, we haven't put it in play through our announcement, but we are not surprised that the community wants to go and talk about that, and we think that's good.
Okay, just a second question on that theme, but just to go right down to the micro level, I think if one looks at that flow chart that's in the IANA contract itself, where you have IANA, ICANN, goes into NTIA, then over to the root zone maintainer, on a day-to-day basis, when that paperwork or emails are received by NTIA saying, you know, we want this change to the root zone or whatever, what was the error rate? I mean, is there not a policy function being exercised by NTIA, but just like a check and balance, like the clerk going through to make sure all the boxes are checked? I mean, is that a role that you played, or was that paperwork simply passed through without scrutiny? So if there was kind of error compliance issues, have those changed over time? In other words, was it bad? Is it better now? Just a comment on that would be appreciated. Thank you.
I'll let Fiona speak to that because I don't know the statistics, but we do look at it to verify accuracy. I think what's important to know is that we never once rejected a request on any sort of policy or political grounds. But on the other issue, I don't know in terms of what the actual experience has been on finding mistakes.
Yeah, so what our staff generally does is there's a template that's been agreed through the discussion with the IANA team, and they just verify the process has been followed with respect to the change request that's coming through. Obviously, for new GTLDs, the volume has been many, so there was a different template that's been put in place, but it's relatively straightforward. We don't do any operational or technical checks. VeriSign actually does secondary checks before implementing. So ours is a clerical process check to make sure process has been followed and things are in the template as they need to be.
But I guess the question is, how often was the process not followed?
We've never kept statistics, and I've been there about 14 years, and I can't think of any meaningful one that's had a problem. I think when there have been questions, it's been questions about hostile redelegations and countries raising concerns. So that's irrespective of the IANA team.
Yeah.
That's the issue that you guys grapple with all the time. Okay. So it's not an IANA issue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And just to respect the time of our guests, but also we are off to meet the board next, so we do have a very hard stop in about 4 minutes. So I'm going to ask this to be the end of the line, and you have about 90 seconds. Go.
Okay. my name is Hongbin Zhu. I'm from .cn, and my question is, under what circumstance is U.S. government be ready to transition its power to the community? Because I see that there is no clear criteria to decide when it is ready to transition its power. And I want to know if this criteria is going to be published to the entire community, and we have the power to decide if this criteria is correct or not. Thank you.
I think we did that with our public statement. So I'm not sure what you're talking about in terms of publishing criteria. We've done that.
I think your criteria is very broad, but I don't know the specific mechanism of your decision process, actually.
I go back to what I said in response to an earlier question. Bring us a consensus proposal that the community all had an opportunity to participate in and embraces, and I think the rest of it will take care of itself.
Okay, thank you.
Jörg Schweiger, .de, Germany. I was heading more or less in the same direction because I think that you gave some preconditions about how the solution we should come up with is constrained, but I still feel that there's a lot of work to do, and I'm not sure if whatever the outcome would be, it would be welcomed warmly and accepted. So once again, yes, more or less the same questions. Are there any acceptance procedures that are set so that that the U.S. government would or would not accept the solution we would come up with?
I can do nothing more than to say read our statement, and I guess beyond that, it's time to get to work.
Thanks.
Okay, with that, I will call. You have one last question. Peter?
Good morning. Peter van Rosten from Center. It is not a true condition in the message that you send out, but the fact that, or it is actually, the multi-stakeholder model that needs to support the agreement on any transition model. But, of course, as long as you haven't talked to the last person that has an opinion on this, there will always be somebody saying this wasn't a true multi-stakeholder model. Can you share some ideas on where you think how far that reaches? Thank you.
I mean, this is a question that I can and you all face every day. I mean, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel on this. I think it comes down to giving opportunities to people. I think in this case, there ought to be a widespread effort to reach out to groups that maybe don't come to ICANN meetings all the time, but will have issues at stake in all of this to get their inputs. But, I mean, this is not a new question.
Okay, with that, I'm going to call this session to a close and say thank you very much to Larry and Fiona. Appreciate your time. I know it's a busy week, and good luck in the rest of the week.
Thank you.
Thank you. And for us, we are now headed to the board CCNSO session, and that's in Padang Room. And that will start at 10 o'clock, which is 8 or 9 minutes from now. So if we could get down there promptly. Thank you.